This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
They looked at me as though I was the enemy, and here I didn't do anything wrong. I was just a good citizen like anybody else. And yet, because our enemy was Japanese, even those of us who were in service were discharged. We were unwanted. Gosh, that was an awful feeling.
That's a short excerpt from dramatic audio that you'll hear emanating from a vintage radio as you walk through the latest stop on the Courage and Compassion Tour, a traveling exhibit produced by the Go for Broke National Education Center that is visiting 10 U.S. cities over a two-year period. From now until February 4th, it is in Kingsburg, California, at the Kingsburg Historical Park. Admission is free, and you'll have the chance to imagine yourself in the shoes of a Japanese American before, during, and after World War II. Bob Yano doesn't have to imagine, because he lived it. From being hauled away from his family's Kingsburg farm to the Gila River internment camp in Arizona, having his military status changed from eligible to serve to ineligible as an enemy alien to eligible again, he would go on to serve with the famous Go for Broke unit, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team in Europe. He's a recipient of the Bronze Star and later was there in Washington, D.C. in 2011 when Nisei veterans were honored with the Congressional Gold Medal. But Bob's also been in countless classrooms in California and even as far away as Wisconsin, sharing his personal story and helping young people understand the broader story. He was doing that when I first had the privilege of meeting him all those years ago, and he's still doing it now. So the question is, why, Bob? Why is that so important to you?
Because I want people to know, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of people don't even know today what we had done, what the 442 or the hundreds has done, you know. It's something that I've always believed in, that it's the only way is to get out and talk about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I try to do that even here. I've always did that here even. I went to Clovis. One of my relatives, a teacher over there, asked me if I would come. I said, sure, I'll come. And I talked to a class in Clovis there, and I thought it was fantastic. A bunch of kids there, really, I was surprised, you know, maybe 100 kids there. And it was really interesting. I'd like that. I like to tell them what it is. And I had a wonderful class. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they did too.
Well, and I bet people are going to hear that and say, hey, well, I'm a teacher. I want them to come to my class. So you might get a few phone calls after this. And a lot of people are going to come through this exhibit in your hometown in Kingsburg. It's got a case of your memorabilia from the war. It also has a panel that tells the story of your family. And then it tells the bigger picture of a lot of Japanese-American families and other families who helped them.
Right.
When you look at this exhibit, what jumps out to you? What do you see that says, boy, I'm really glad that's here, and I think that's going to have an impact?
I was here the other day even, and I was just watching people look, and I was impressed that just by their expression, you could just about tell if you look at something you don't like or you're not interested, you just glance and move on right away. But it seems like they just stand there and look at it, read and everything that's there. So that's what I observed, you know. Usually it's no different myself. When I go someplace and I'm interested, I stay there and look. But if I'm not interested, I just glance and move on, you know. So I think just by watching their expression, you can tell this group of people that I have observed here, I think they're interested. Yeah, I think they learned a little bit about it.
And there's only 10 cities in the whole country that are getting this exhibit. And Kingsburg is one of them. Little old Kingsburg in the middle of California is one of them.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because of you.
Is that right? I don't know. I guess I don't know, but I'm glad they brought it to Kingsburg. Yeah.
And I'm sure people are going to come from all around. You know, it's going to be in Monterey later, but, I mean, folks between here and there and all over California should be converging on Kingsburg to take a look at this. What do you want those people to understand when they come here and they walk through and they try to soak all of it in? What's the most important thing you want them to understand?
I don't think so much as thinking that how much we had to go through. It's just that we're part of Americans, you know. I want them to know we were good Americans. Mm-hmm. That's what I want them to know, you know, because after all, my parents, and I'm all the parents, I'm proud. I'm proud of them, yeah, because they're good Americans, imported Americans, you might say, but I could just even remember some of my dad's friends. And I can't, in my whole life here in Keenburg, I can't recall any of the older people had done anything wrong that were outstanding that I could remember as a kid and growing up in this community. So I think that alone, to me, I'm proud. I'm proud of. And I want people to realize that they're all good Americans.
And I have to imagine that it's a little surreal to walk in here and you see photos from 70 years ago,
yeah.
70 plus years ago,
right.
75 years ago,
right.
when Executive Order 9066 came out. It's got to be surreal to look at those photos and you remember that you guys were the outcasts,
right.
that they wanted to erase you from Kingsburg. And now you come here today and the Americans of Japanese descent are celebrated. And this story is a showcase that Kingsburg is embracing and celebrating.
Yeah.
I mean, are those two opposite sides of the coin or what?
I don't know. You know, a lot of people here, I remember, like, this grocery store. Mrs. Tani's is one of them. The oldest one is Mrs. Tani's. But there was always another one right across the street, Furuhashi's. And this is where my dad and them traded quite a bit. I remember that because this is where they'd get their groceries. My dad and them would associate with them more. They were just like any other hardworking people. And the only sad part of it is that I don't think they returned here after the war, you know.
Mm.
I think they settled in Oakland. But all in all, of all the members of Japanese American families or Japanese here, like the Andels has been here forever. Matt's Andel, he had a brother, but I could always remember the brother was younger than Matt's, but he always used to ride motorcycle with the Swedes, you know. and I even recall, I think my parents used to say, I wonder why he rides around with motorcycle with the white boys, you know. You know, Dad, you know, those days, not too much interracial thing, you know, friendship. But we had friendship, but not riding motorcycles like he was, you know, but I could still recall that him riding motorcycle. King. His nickname was King Andrew.
Huh.
And I think they're all Harley Davidson motorcycles, but I could still remember because our neighbor was Westlands, and one of their boys was riding the motorcycle. So
mm-hmm.
that all, you know, kind of falls in line. But I think King Andrew was about the only Japanese American that rode a motorcycle, as far as I'm concerned. It always remains in my mind. Yeah.
If you think back to that whole time period, the attack on Pearl Harbor,
yeah.
9066, the internment, serving in the 442, that whole period, what was the most difficult thing for you to face or endure?
I think probably the most thing that comes to my mind, even though I was in service, is how well we were going to be accepted when we come back. That's the number one issue, you know. How are they going to accept us? Are they still going to be like they were before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling that in my senior year coming to school, I still remember the first day I had some nice friends, you know, and just being cut off, you know, just shut off. So I can still remember that feeling today, even. Yeah.
Well, this has to be a much better feeling to come in here and see your story and stories like yours celebrated and honored and used as an example.
I think that's true, and I think I did my part, and all they have to do is look at it.
And there are a lot of elements to this exhibit. People could spend a lot of time here if they soak it all in.
Right, right.
And your story is there, and other veterans' stories are showcased.
Correct.
Is there an element of this exhibit, other than your memorabilia, which means a lot to you personally, is there another spot as you walk through here that really grabbed a hold of you, that kind of had the greatest impact on you?
Yeah, that man with the picking strawberries, Matt Sandel.
Yeah?
Yeah. I respect Matt Sandel.
You
yeah.
knew him?
Yeah. He's older than I, but he's a good man.
What was it about that element of the display that got you?
You look at the fellow that's standing right behind them in the picture, that's Dr. Larson. Now, Dr. Larson took care of me before I went to camp. I had pneumonia, and I was in a sanitarium here in Kingsburg for 30 days. There's another doctor that's I just never can forget because he says, when you get in camp, write me a letter and let me know how you're doing. Now, I never forgot that. I did write a letter to him, thanking him for that.
Because that wasn't necessarily the easy thing for him to do or what you'd expect out of him.
That's right. But he took care of me 30 days here in the sanitarium just before I went to the camp. And when I had pneumonia, I was laid up for, like I say, in that hospital. And I can still remember him punching my back with a needle to draw the fluid out of my lungs. And you can just about, I could feel it to this day, how it felt. They go, poof, you know, and you, like putting it in a balloon, you know. But he took care of me, and he, when I had to leave, that's what he told me, Dr. Larson. And that Larson's picture, it was for Matt Andrews in the back there. And that's one of the things that brought back the memory. But I never forgot that. And I did write. And he asked, he wrote a letter, short letter, asked how he was doing. And so I never forgot him. He's a wonderful doctor.
And I imagine something like that. And that photo that you're talking about is part of a bigger panel that also includes the other side of the coin. It includes a newspaper clipping about the time a Japanese school was burned down in Kingsburg.
Yeah.
You know, you have an example like that,
and
you see one side of it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying your interaction with Dr. Larson and even seeing his photo there is a reminder to you of the things that gave you hope.
Yeah. I mean, if he was not a good person or whatever, you know, and they didn't say nothing or gave some kind of remark or what, I'd never forget it, you know. But this here is something that what doctor's going to tell you, write a letter and let him know how you're doing. And I never forgot that. I thought a word of Dr. Larson.
Was there anything else that I didn't ask you about that's on your mind as you consider this exhibit and all the people that are going to see it and the impact that it could have?
I'm just hoping that, you know, people will come and see and actually look, see. I hope so anyway.
Let me ask you this. It may not be easy. I don't even remember how many years it's been since we hung out the first time.
I knew you were coming, and I thought, wow, it's been a long time. Yeah. I never forgot that. No, I never forget that, yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if you've seen any change, because you've been telling your story and the story of the 442 for a long time. And it has been a few years since we talked the last time. Do you see a difference in people's understanding or awareness? Do you feel like your efforts and others who are telling that story, that there's an impact there? There's a difference being made?
Well, you know, since we first spoke, I think it's a little bit more widely known, you know. I think it is after even when we spoke together the first time. It's come a long ways, I think. You have all these honor flights and, you know, all these things, and it's quite a thing, I think, yeah.
This exhibit will, I'm sure, take it to another level and reach even more people.
I'm sure it has, even to this day.
Are you going
to
be out here every once in a while as part of the living part of the exhibit so people can meet the man behind the photos and the memorabilia?
Well, if they want me here, I'll be here. You know.
How long are you going to keep doing this, going and talking to school kids and telling this story?
Well, I'm glad to do it. As long as they want me to talk, I'll talk. As long as I can talk, I'll talk.
How old are you now?
I'm 93. I'll be 94 in February, so get there.
I'm going to ask you this now. I don't want to brag, but when I saw you today, you gave me this pin. You took it off your hat. It's the emblem of the 442.
Right.
That torch against the hexagonal blue background.
Right.
And I'm honored that you would share this with me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
My question to you is, what do you want me to think of when I look at this pin? What does it represent? What should I think of when I look at this?
First of all, I want you to think that when you see that, I want you to remember all of us Japanese Americans, what we had gone through, and, you know. And then the last part, just remember me, that's all. The last part. Because I always remember you. I never forget you. Yeah.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to forget you, especially if they come to this exhibit here at the Kingsburg Historical Park.
Yeah, but you impressed me from the day one, and I just never forgot you. I still remember you.
Well, right back at you, sir. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I probably asked you this before, but maybe there's a different answer now. What are you most proud of?
Well, I think I'm most proud by serving America. You know, if I served and was a good American, I think probably would leave a good memory for everybody else. I did my part.
You did your part that hopefully no one else will have to go through what you went
through. That's right.
Well, thanks again, Bob. Great to see you again. And
thank you.
I hope a lot of people come out and chase you down out here, make you sign an autograph or
Thank
two.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we sure appreciate Bob Yano. That uniform he has on display in Kingsburg through February 4th, he still fits into it, believe it or not. And again, to hear Bob's war story, his close calls with the 442nd, and everything he experienced, pull up episode number 186 at hometownheroesradio.com. That's also where you can find more information about the Communities of Compassion and Courage exhibit. And we'll pull in one more perspective on that when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.